I have a children's message this morning, and if the kids would like to come up, we might need to make some room here and gather around on the floor. Many of you know. All right, I'll need you to move back a little bit more, so that everybody can find a place. Oh, that's all right. You can come right here. All right. You want to sit down? Breaking for the exit. All right. Okay. It's so good to have you all up here this morning. This is your service now for the moment. Isn't that great? Yeah. Does anyone know what this is?
A lamp.
It's a lamp. But you want to know something? What does it do?
It turns it light.
When the power goes out. Oh, when the power goes out. I think that might not work as well, but yes, it gives light. But you know something that's not giving any light? What do you think's wrong with it?
It's not plugged in.
Oh, I need to plug it in.
And it can't work if the power's out.
Okay.
There's no power.
All right. It's plugged in. Now, it's still not working.
You need to change the light bulb.
Oh, Oh, so there's a switch. We turn on and off the switch. It's kind of bright, isn't it? Is that a bright light?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, having a lamp here, it reminds me of something that Jesus talked about. He talked about light too. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus, he said, "You are the light of the world." Have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah.
He said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." You'd light a lamp and put it under a bowl? That doesn't make sense either. "Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus told us that we are the light of the world. Boy, this can kind of be a little hard to understand. See, this is a light, but now Jesus is telling us that we're a light too. So, how can you be a light? You can't be a light. Jesus is the only light?
God is too.
God is too? Hmm. But see, Jesus is telling us that we are the light of the world. So, you have something with what you're talking about, though, that Jesus is the light. But when we believe in Jesus and ask Him into our hearts, His light comes into us. And we are to let His light shine, right? You know, when we have lights in our house, how many of you play with light switches?
My baby brother.
You turn them on and off. Your baby brother likes to turn on and off the light?
Yeah. My baby brother likes to
Joshua.
Turn on and off.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when Jesus tells us to let our light shine, we're supposed to look a lot like Jesus, right? Because that's Jesus shining through us. Yes, Abigail? Yeah, so we can see. But what happens if our mommy and daddy tells us it's time to go to bed and we choose not to go to bed? Do you think that that's Jesus shining through us? Uh-oh. So what happens if we want to disobey our parents and we have Jesus in our heart? We might think that Jesus is a lot like a light switch where we can just turn him off. How about when you've done something wrong and someone asks you about it and you really want to lie? So if we lie, we would have to shut off the light of Jesus in us, right? Yeah, that wouldn't be too good. Because Jesus is telling us to let our light shine. Can anyone else think of something that's not that we want to do but isn't a lot like Jesus? How about going to church? Is that something that's good?
Yeah.
We can let our light shine. How about reading your Bible? Is that letting your light shine?
Yeah.
When you go to school, you can let Jesus' light shine. How? Maybe by being nice to others? Maybe you see someone who's all alone and they don't have any friends, and you can be a friend? Yeah, you can just play with them. Yeah. So sometimes when we're tempted to turn off our light, we're going to say no. Jesus says to let our light shine because we want Jesus to shine through us. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We don't want to turn off Jesus' light in us. All right. You have something you wanted to add? So I think what we're going to do is we're going to pray and ask Jesus to help our light shine every day. In every way. So do you remember what we do? Do we come alongside the steps here and we put our knees on the floor? Okay, let's say a quick prayer. Lord, thank you so much for coming into our hearts and bringing your light into our hearts. Help us not to turn off our light of you, but help us to do what you've asked us to do. And let others see what we are doing so that they may know you by what we are doing. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming up here. And if you normally go to children's church, you can be dismissed for children's church now. Well, 2 weeks ago, I finished my series on divine encounters with God. And we finished looking at all the prophetic books in the Old Testament. And, of course, last week, Ed brought us a great message, and I was going to thank him so much for sharing last week, but he's not here today. And I also wanted to say a thank you to everyone here. Thank you again for last week. You all are so generous and kind. Thank you for showering me and my family and with words of encouragement and gifts during pastor appreciation. Again, it feels good to be appreciated. So thank you so much for last week. But getting to our message today, I had told you that I would be looking at the parables of Jesus. And there are many teachings that are explicitly stated as parables. But there's also other areas in the New Testament or in the Gospels that take on a parable-like resemblance. And so, as I was looking at what am I going to preach on, I will be obviously going through the parables that are explicitly parables, but I will also be looking at some other stories that Jesus taught that, again, take on that parable-like resemblance. So before I start preaching on parables, I thought it's important to kind of define what a parable is. What is a parable? I think we need to understand that. And the word parable literally means to cast alongside. The parables of Jesus were stories that were cast alongside a truth in order to illustrate that truth. So what may seem like a small story is actually something lining up alongside a deeper held truth. One author described a parable like this. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I think on here I put it's a small story with deep truths. But Jesus spoke many parables, and we may be in this series for a while. The disciples asked Jesus why he taught in parables in Matthew chapter 13, 10. Actually, I don't even think I do. Matthew 13, 10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Jesus' disciples were a bit perplexed in these stories, and Jesus replied to their question in verse 11, saying, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." Jesus may have been hinting to the fact that the parables were intended for those in the crowd who did not understand the depths of the heavenly truths, but could grasp an earthly one. Though his disciples knew and understood, the people were given deep truths through small stories. And though that was Jesus' answer, I believe there's more to it with parables too. If you've ever heard something and don't fully understand what you've heard, but you know it's important, something you're going to do is you're going to be thinking about it. You're going to think about it for a while. You might even ask questions, trying to figure out, okay, what does this really mean? You would also tend to remember that type of story. If you work to understand something, or if it was an easily understood story, it might be something that you would remember too. So what can spark someone's interest? What can be very memorable? What can carry deep heavenly truths? It's parables for sure. There might be other ways to convey messages, but this is one way that Jesus used many times. So let's look at our first one for today, and we'll be digging into something that we've already looked at in our children's message. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. I know I already read it with the kids, but I want to read it again here. Matthew 5, 14. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This is one of those stories that may not look like a parable, but Jesus gives a simple metaphor that we can picture and understand. We can picture that lamp or that candle, that light we can picture. And yet the depth of what Jesus is saying here is significant. Jesus is telling the people they are the light of the world. But let's take a moment on that sentence, because there's another place in Scripture that identifies the light of the world. And it's interesting that the kids picked up on that almost immediately. That, wait a second, Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus declares that he is the light of the world. If we look at the opposite of light, we would think darkness. But what is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. That's what darkness is. It's just the absence of light. And whoever follows Jesus is promised that they will never walk in his absence, but will have his presence. So Jesus is the light. It's meaning that he's present. If there's darkness, that means that Jesus is absent. So when we follow Jesus, he's promising us that we will always walk in his presence. John 12:46 says, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus being the light brings salvation to those who believe and follow him. We then become his light bearers. I think of the Olympics where they run with this torch. And really, when we think about when we follow and believe in Jesus, we pick up a torch. And that's what we're walking through life with. We carry the light of Jesus because we are his light bearers. Ephesians 5:8-11 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. See, Christ's light that we bear brings certain things. It brings goodness. It brings righteousness. And it brings truth. We as light bearers desire to do what pleases the Lord, and we desire to keep pleasing him in new areas. And we're not desiring to please the Lord out of obligation, but out of worship. Our desire is to find those areas that we have not already found that pleases the Lord, because we want to worship him. I mean, after all, he is the one who brought us out of darkness and sin. He brought us out of death and brought us into the light of life. So when we look at our passage today where Jesus says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world because of him. And if you look at a city and all the lights that come from it, it can't be hidden. If the light of Christ is in you, then you should not be able to hide it. You shouldn't be able to just turn it off. And even the kids are able to understand that, but there's some deeper things going on with this. See, when we're trying to cover that light of Christ, if we decide we're going to do something that we know that the Lord doesn't want us to do, we have to switch it off, or we have to cover it. Covering it, we are also extinguishing that light. A candle that is restricted of oxygen, what will happen? It'll go out. Let's read on in our verse today, with chapter 5, verse 15. We're going to come back to this in a moment. But 5:15 says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. See, this is a small story, but we can identify with it. We can picture it. When the electricity goes out and you go looking for a lamp or a candle, you light it. And where do you put it? You put it in a place where it's going to be seen in many areas, seen from all around. You put it on a table, or we put it on something that's a little higher that'll allow the light to project. And even when the storm has killed the power, even when the wind is howling and the rain is pouring, A little light brightens a room. I know with my young children, when the electricity goes out, that's kind of a scary moment. But then you bring fire into the mix, and then they're okay. A little bit of light can bring some comfort in a troublesome time. There's a measure of comfort. We don't light it and put it under a bowl. We don't light a light and hide it. It makes no sense. But then if we look at the story, what happens when we put a candle under a bowl? The obvious result is it's gonna stop the light from being emitted. But the other thing that it will do is shortly, over time, the oxygen will get used and the candle will go out. When we try to hide the light of Christ, we've asked Christ to dwell in us. And then we don't want Him to shine through. We're no longer okay in our relationship with the Lord. We're no longer communicating with Him. We're rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We're starving our light of Christ in us. That's when we try to hide Christ in us. Why would we want to hide His light? And there are times that Satan would try to tell you to cover your light of Christ in you. I know there's been a number of times where people said, well, I can't talk about Jesus in my workplace. Okay, I understand that there's sometimes that you're told not to talk about Him. But that doesn't change who we are. Our light is going to shine whether we say the name of Jesus or not. Our light should shine in the way we carry ourselves, what we do, how we treat others. But Satan is going to give you reasons to He'll say, well, just dim your light here. Just don't be so full of Jesus over here. Don't, you know, Satan is going to try and tell you when he thinks you should dim your light. But you're actually hindering your relationship with Christ in doing that. And it's often the result of sin is the reason why you don't want your light to shine. I know this is something I shouldn't do, but I'm going to do it anyway, so I have to take off my Jesus hat for a moment. I have to turn the light off. But then we're not fully devoted to Christ when we're doing that. To cover your light is to tell Jesus that you would rather be a little closer to death and darkness. You are telling Jesus that you want His saving grace without Him. And we all know that sin and temptation are real, but Christ in us is very real too. And my hope is that each and everyone here is wishing to shine even more light, to draw closer to the Lord, to grow deeper in a relationship with Him, to draw more from the Word of God, and in doing so, such a light will illuminate the darkness around us. And we don't want to use our light to judge others, but our light is to be a witness, to be an example for others to see when we are following Jesus. And our greatest hope is that those still in darkness, those that are still walking without Jesus, will see what we are doing and see the love that we have received from Christ and want the same thing. May they come and hear about Jesus and become light bearers as well. That's the goal. That when we hold our torch, we're not just going to pass the torch to someone else, but we will see their light for Christ be lit as well, because we're sharing His light with others. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What we do is never about us, or it's never about me. It's about the source of the light that we carry. People see, the people that will see that you've changed for the better. People will see a newfound compassion for others in you. People will see a devotion to God in you. People will see a newfound joy in your life. People will see that your life has been transformed. It's different. And when people see this, you can point them to the source. And that's Jesus. Let us be eternally grateful for the hope that we have, because we've been rescued from death and darkness because of Jesus Christ. Well, that's all I have for this first message on looking at the parables. Again, this was not one that's explicitly a parable, but one that is has a deep, profound truth to a simple story.